Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Hello, good morning, it's a great Friday. Oh yeah, it's my birthday, and on my birthday I get to do what I want. Let me tell you what I want. I want to talk to Mitch Altman. You know, this is what happened. You know, those of you that listen to the show know we've been playing nanotubes and, you know, nickel iron batteries and having some fun being all kind of Dr. Science and so on. But I tell you this, I thought that I would get more from the maker community is out there. You know, Cody Wilson is 3D printing everything. He's a regular guest. I'm on again next week, you know, for like the sixth, seventh time trying to keep him alive. And that's a whole nother issue. But the one thing that I wanted to make sure is I took advantage of all of the other people that could be doing kind of the same thing. You know what? Excuse me. I'm sorry. What kind of benefit would I get from other people that, you know, had the same interest, doing the same kind of stuff, learn, or, you know, they just didn't have the equipment, and they go, you mean you gotta, and you can, and we go, ooh, we'd be all bestest buddies. Now, we're familiar with doing the Freedom's Phoenix workshop. You know, you don't get to come there and hang out, and it's not the honeycomb hideout, and it's not, you know, see how much beer we can drink and chill out and whatever. If you're not working, you're in somebody's way. If you're not helping somebody, then you're distracting them. It's a workshop. I understand the concept. We've been doing it for years. Now, what happens is that what happens when you have an entire philosophy that is there for these creative young minds to be able to find a bench? You know what we're going to teach you? We're going to teach you how to solder. You know, we're going to teach you how a microprocessor works. We're going to teach you how little actuators, you know, function. We're going to teach you how to build your own video drone, you know what I mean? So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's happening. I still haven't found anyone that's doing what we're doing, and I was kind of surprised. But yeah, I looked really hard, and in my look, I came across Mitch Altman. Now, Mitch Altman is involved with a thing called NoiseBridge. Now, he's had his own inventions. I mean, he's, you know, became a, you know, maker famous, you know, by having this little keychain thing. It's a TV remote that turns off TVs when you're in public places. Now, you're sick of having five gazillion TVs blaring at you when you're at the wherever, you know, the bar, the mall, the this, the that. I mean, you know, we can get this libertarian, it's not your TV thing, but, you know what I mean? It was kind of cool to be able to just turn them off, you know, and, you know, you can discuss the ethics of that later. The other thing was, is that, you know, a dream mask, you know, lights and whatever, they give you, you know, more lucid dreams. You know, sometimes you wake up from a dream and go, wow, that was lucid. You know, I mean, that was real. What if you could induce that more? Man. You want to know how to get plugged into the Matrix? Who do we talk to? Mitch Altman. Welcome to the show, Mitch.
Hey, good to be here.
Okay, where was I wrong on any of that?
No, it's not a question of right or wrong. You've got tons of enthusiasm. That's totally right in my book.
Well, I mean, it was a lot of the things that I try to introduce you, it looks like there's so many things that you're involved with. I didn't want to, you know, miss anything important. What do you think people should know about you?
Wow. You know, I'm not sure what people should know, but I know what I love, and I love sharing what I love. I mean, that's really what it's about for me. So I've been going around the world teaching people how to make cool things with electronics, including how to solder, which is like the basic skill you need in order to make electronics. And, you know, and teaching people is one of my excuses for bringing people together so people can organize to create their own hacker spaces. These are physical places, kind of like your Phoenix workshop, I think, where people get together to teach and learn and share and really explore and do what they love. And, you know, we need community. And I love helping people form communities that are unique for their community, you know, their outline community.
You know, one thing I want to add, well, Freedom's Phoenix Workshop, so you know, is it was more political expression. You know, the Lovelution. Oh, you probably don't know this. I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Lovelution logo. And that Lovelution was the center of a lot of activity for Generation Next, being able to express themselves of just leave me aloneism or whatever. And the thing is that really the workshop is like T-shirts, and we do printing, and we have, you know, folders and cutters and sign making and the video workshop and a radio studio and, you know, that kind of stuff. But what has happened is it's evolved over time. A lot of the people, they're starting to go, you know, we just want to be able to, you know, survive the zombie apocalypse and maintain our humanity and be, you know, spread the love. You know, it's just, we just want to, like you're saying, you know, a community of, we can just better ourselves and our circumstance and growing food and making shelter and doing it. So we took the same kind of thing to do that. And one of the things I was interested in was power, you know, and then I, but it really, the focus on that as a base new science is nanotubes. Because I understand from back in 91 when I read in Popular Science back in the day what that meant and what was coming. But, you know, it's like this government thing. It just kind of suppresses it. They hold it off over here. And you have to do it yourself from your own bench. And there was a cover that Norman Rockwell did for Popular Science in October of 1920, and it had a guy making a perpetual motion machine, like a little Ferris wheel, from his workbench in his garage, in his workshop, and that was the cover, and that kind of inspired one of the covers that we do. We have a magazine that we do, and one of the covers kind of focused on the lab. So when I'm searching for this, are there others just starting to do, and you find there's different kind of efforts like this around the country, and I came across yours, and I was really glad that you agreed to spend some time with us, because I wanted to understand one thing before we get to the first break. When you're talking about teaching people to solder, the one thing that I learned, I got a lot from my father and, you know, and just, you know, growing up and different generation and so on of actually, you know, how to make stuff. And now, I mean, it's either a video controller or you just don't know how to do it. And I was really surprised when we started doing things like making geodesic domes and just, you know, you need a little tool. You got to, you know, drill press this. You got to cut off that. You got to. And they didn't know anything. I mean, which way do you hold a screwdriver? Tell us about your experiences when you're going in basic fundamental soldering stuff. You know, what kind of skills do these young people come in with?
Quite often, none. You know, we're not taught how to do basic skills that we need or want to live lives we want in schools. Unfortunately, schools are still these rows and columns responding or reacting to bells with some alleged expert just, in, you know, giving us the needed information for doing better on standardized tests. I mean, this isn't about improving our lives or living our lives. This is about doing well for the bureaucracies that are doing well by having these things. And so, you know, we need to have supportive community in order for us to learn what's useful for us, what we want to live lives we want to live. So, you know, like what you're talking about and what I help form is hackerspaces where people can learn all sorts of cool things. You know, I teach soldering, and I can teach anyone to solder. I've taught over 40,000 people, but there's so many things that people can learn and not just tech.
Yeah, when we come back, I tell you, we're going to find out some of the co things that has come out of their workshops, come off of their benches. You know, this is the kind of stuff we're going to be talking about for the rest of this hour with Mitch Altman, one of the founders of NoiseBridge, noisebridge.net. Go check it out.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Well, at least not government-funded. You know, I mean, just, you know, can I be free to do what I want? You know, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about with Mitch. I'm going to let him talk, I guarantee. Okay, a couple of things. One, I want him to tell us about Tech Shop. Tech Shop is kind of a well-stocked, come here and make it kind of thing, and how they make their money is from subscriptions. You come in, you say, okay, I'll pay, you know, $30, $50, $100 a month, whatever it is, and I will go ahead and have access to whatever. And if you're certified on different machines, you got nice milling machines, laser cutting machines, a lot of different machines, you can make your kind of stuff. You know, from these kind of, you know, hacker shop things came MakerBot, the 3D printers. I remember us covering on Freedom's Phoenix, you know, a 15-year-old kid in his parents' basement that was a homeschool that he created his own rapid prototyper, and he was selling goodies. Send me the file, I'll print it out and give me money. You know, I'm going, ooh, I like this guy. This is like 05, 07 in there. You know, so this was coming. A lot of people don't know this 3D printing stuff has been going on for like 30 years, but one of the patents, it's always patent. One of the patents ran out in 11 or something. Boom. Exploded. Then you have Makey, which is a kit that Mitch is going to tell us about. And last summer, he had a kind of a successful launch thing of his sleep mask. So let's start with the sleep mask. Tell me about that, will you, Mitch?
Sure. So sleep mask is one of my weirder projects, but it helps people sleep when they're having trouble sleep by presenting the brainwave sequence of someone falling asleep, and through light and sound, it plays that sequence back, and you follow along with it and drift off to sleep. That's the idea. And I had a successful Kickstarter last summer where I got enough money to make the first batch, and that's what I'm doing now. And finally, after all this time, I'm about to ship them to all of my Kickstarter backers.
Very cool. You know, we've featured some stuff on Kickstarter. Tell me exactly how that works. I mean, do you apply to send a video to apply to get? I mean, how does that work?
It's much easier than applying to apply to apply. Mm-hmm. It's you get a form which turns into a web page where you present your project, why it's cool, why other people might think it's cool, why you're qualified to actually complete it. And you give a bunch of different reward levels for people who donate money to your project. You can, you know, say, like on mine, if you give $1, I'll give you thanks. If you give me $5, I'll give you stickers. In my case, the units cost a little more. So if you give 90, you get a production unit. And if you give 180, you get a prototype now and a unit later, things like that. And you start off with a video that's you know, sharing your enthusiasm so people who are into your project can key into it and see if they like it. And you set a goal, amount of money, and an amount of time. If you reach the amount of money in that time, everyone's credit card who pledged gets charged. And if you don't reach that goal, no one gets charged anything.
Oh, so they do a credit card where you say, okay, I need X amount of dollars. And if it reaches that point, then everybody gets charged. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's the way it works. And it's an amazing way of raising money. You don't need some kind of VC, which out here in Silly Valley, we call them vulture capitalists. These are people who are in it only for the money, with rare exception. And they'll fund your company until they take over the shares of stock, and you're left with now controlling your shares of stock or your in your own company. They'll take it over, run it into the ground, and your life and dreams, your sweat, and all of that goes down the drain. And your company, if it survives, which is rare, gets turned into something you don't even want to be a part of anyways.
You know, this is just a, I tell you what it is. It's looking at your smartphone and go, I have the accumulated knowledge at my fingertips of all humanity sitting right here. What imagination can I put into play to make my life or somebody else's better? And It's I got it always is a genesis of a spark of an idea to meet the money, to meet the right person, the right place, and the right soldering iron teacher. I mean, you know, to get something done. And what this does is the maker community kind of takes a whole bunch of hurdles away, and it just gives them an opportunity. Let me tell you what my experience has been. Because when you need to make the catalyst for creating the nanotubes, it's kind of a, you know, nickel, iron, cobalt, whatever, different, doesn't matter. I need to have, you can't buy a lot of the stuff in solution, or you know, you got to make it yourself or something. So you get some chemicals. Oh, well, then you're a domestic terrorist, man. You're getting chemicals. I need some glass beakers and distillers and Bunsen burners and, you know, hooded whatever. I start doing, oh, you must be a meth lab. Okay. So I'm having to deal with law enforcement, fusion centers, FBI, say, look, you don't need to come kill my dog. Okay. I'm making battery. I send them all the stuff and everything. You know, look, this is what we're doing. Don't come kill my dog. And I'm going, this kind of stuff, what you're learning, it certainly has anything to do with energy. We just had on yesterday a company that was making a plasma engine that ran on, you know, expanding plasma is kind of like an internal combustion without combustion. And the FBI came in and seized all their stuff. And I'm like, you know, this is, and it's so regular, especially when you're dealing with energy, you see this kind of stuff happen. Have you had experiences to where your people are just, there's always demand there with a clipboard saying what you can or can't do, or have you been able to avoid that?
Oh, we've been able to avoid that. You know, there's, now like NoiseBridge was one of the early hacker spaces, the modern kind of hacker spaces that we see now, and we started in 2007, so all this is pretty new. It's probably pretty clear to all of us anyways that, you know, we're being watched by people who are nervous because they don't understand what we're doing. But as far as I know, no one's ever been visited by authorities and told they can't do what they're doing. Because, you know, what we're doing is incredibly cool, and it's helping people, not only people who can make a living hopefully doing what they love after they explore what they love, but if those things get popular, like MakerBot, then they can hire people from their community and local community grows. So we've actually been getting a lot of support from municipal government.
Yeah, start, you know, supplying electrons and find out what happens.
Yeah. So, you know, there are people exploring various means of energy, like kinetic batteries with a little flywheel that spins around with very low friction. I don't know if they've gotten any trouble. I haven't heard of anything. There's even a 15-year-old kid who made his own fusion reactor.
Oh.
You know, and, like, we can do stuff like this. We can do it on our own, but we can do it even better with the support of community of people that we can draw from. Because, you know, no matter what we know, even with the Internet, we can learn a lot from other people. Everyone knows things that someone else doesn't, and everyone, no matter how much you know, can learn from other people. And this is what hackerspaces are all about.
You know, I really had to spend a lot of time just to learn the right phraseology and the right words to be able to even look for places like this. So we're going to find out some of the words that you can do a Google search in your area and see if you can find, you know, other places you can help or spend time or get to do your dream, like Mitch Altman. Yeah. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Oh, you remember. You remember. I mean, even though you don't got... Oh, yeah. I will bring this up on a regular basis because I can. I'm going golfing today because it's my birthday. One of my friends, we're going golfing. It's my birthday, 52nd birthday. What does that tell you? Born in 1961. You're born in 1961. That means as a little kid, some of your first memories is the man going to walk on the moon. Okay? And imagine the creativity. You know, this is Bert Rattan. We just put up yesterday or day before. I put it back up again. He gave a TED Talk. And he was saying, you know, the jet age, you know, we were having, you know, Sputnik and all this other stuff, how inspiring that was to his generation. And then he started designing planes and all that kind of stuff. And then what happened? Oh, then you got the space race, landing on the moon, got all the stuff that they promised us. But then it's just a government thing. They keep back kind of, oh, heck no. So what happens? Young kids getting inspired by that, that go off and make a bunch of ton of money on Amazon and PayPal and whatever. And they go, you know, Elon Musk says, you know what? I'm going to do 80,000 people colony on Mars. You can't. No, you can't, because you can't, and because we didn't think of it and we're not in control, you can't. And he goes, yeah, I can. Watch me. Okay? So here we go. It's just people like that, being inspired by something or someone, like Mitch Altman. Mitch wants to inspire people so that Generation Next will just go, you know what? I don't have to wait. I just make it. Well, tell me some of the cool things that you think are coming online, that, you know, some of the people you've been exposed to and the kind of influence you've had there, Mitch.
Yeah, that really is what it's about, is people coming together. We don't need a lot of money to do a whole bunch of cool things. I mean, NoiseBridge, as I was saying before the break, you know, it's one of the early ones, and it's just 2007. This is a new thing. There's now over 1,300 hackerspaces on our planet, and growing all the time, and it's because we need community, we need to express ourselves creatively, and we can do this so much better when we come together to do it, and we don't need a whole lot of resources. You know, when you make nanotubes, there, you have to buy some stuff, but with that, you can make things that aren't, it's just not very expensive to make these things. You know, you're mentioning a space program inspiring people. The hackerspace movement has its own space program, the Hackerspace Space Program, and the idea of the goal of this, which is rather ambitious, is to put someone on the moon on our own without the government or anyone else. You know, we can pool our money together, crowdsource funding, whatever, and put someone on the moon, hopefully by the year 2023. Even if we don't reach that goal, what will we learn along the way, just
Thank
like
you.
With the original space program?
Thank you. You know, it's just so failure just, you know, tells you all the stuff not to do.
So. Yeah, and failing is important. We need to fail. We need to make mistakes. We need to fail early and fail often. I always try to teach that to people, no matter what age I'm teaching, whatever skills I'm teaching. You can't do anything cool in your life without taking some risks and failing a lot. And it's frustrating to fail, but it's really, really important because of all we learn of how to do things to make things better.
You know, I went in doing, got everything all set up to do and prepared to fail and fail and fail and fail and fail, and I had, like, you know, some early success. So I'm going, okay, now what, you know? So I really am looking forward to including others, and we have homeschool kids come by, and I put on my you know, Doc Brown, David Bowie wig, you know, and respirator and a coat and the gloves, and put on a show for the kids. And that's really what I think is inspires me more. They'll come by and I'll, you know, kind of go through some basic science, and this is what we're doing, and this how, and it's so simple. And they're like going, oh, it's carbon. I mean, you know, you got to draw some on the whiteboard and kind of what you're creating and doing and why. And you explain certain things to them, and you can see, you know, that you changed the entire future for that child. They are inspired. Do you get any kind of involvement of the local school children or anything like that, or some of the guys' kids, little brothers and stuff?
All the time, and I want more. You know, like I was saying before, schools are not places, unfortunately, where people learn what they want to learn to live lives that are, like, totally fulfilling to them. So quite often we get teachers who bring the kids out of their little cubicle prisons or whatever and into NoiseBridge, and we teach them whatever they want to learn, whether it's science or electronics. I mean, my thing's electronics, so when I'm involved, I'm teaching people how to solder or how to play with electronics, and anyone can learn this stuff. Anyone. I mean, I wrote a comic. Everything I do is open source. I just share everything as much as I can because I want people to learn. So I wrote a comic book, which you can find by just search for Solder Comic. It's free. It's open source. You can do whatever you want with it.
Solder Comics.
Yeah, a lot of people have learned to solder this way. And I go around the world teaching people to solder. I've taught over 40,000 people how to solder personally.
People think it's just easy. You just, you know, put it on there, heat it, and do it. And if you don't know how to heat both sides of the metal and the right fluxing to getting everything, you're just wasting your time.
It's way easier than all that. You know, there's a lot of science and physics that goes along with how it actually works, but you don't need to know all of that in order to solder well. All you need to solder well to have a lifetime of satisfying soldering is to see someone who solders well do one connection once.
Yeah, well, you know what? They didn't show me, and I thought you just melted the solder and dripped it on there. That ain't how it works.
Yeah, well, you gotta see how it's done well at least once, and then you're on your way. And, you know, and it's not hard to learn. You don't need to be some guy in a white coat. You can be anyone with any background, with any amount of money and any amount of knowledge, and you can solder well. And same is true with so much in engineering, tech, and science, and even art and craft and just about any realm.
What? You know, tell me about the kids that come in. What's the average age of the people coming in, and where are they coming from?
All ages. Myself, I've taught kids as young as 3.5 years old. And it's really fun if you have a room full of 3.5-year-olds with a soldering iron. Hopefully, it's really wonderful. And, you know, and I've taught people up to 83, and it's not like these are the age limits. You can teach and learn and share much younger than 3.5 and much older than 83 and anywhere in between. So as far as kids coming to Noisebridge, there are a lot of people who are homeschooled in San Francisco area where I live, and they're always looking for new ways of inspiring for further learning, and hackerspaces are one way because there are people not just like who teach tech like me, but, you know, also art and craft and science and cooking and machine shop and
whatever. What's some of the new technologies getting into that kind of surprised you, that you didn't anticipate? You know, that you're going, whoa, I didn't think of that. I mean, is there some new thing coming on?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff happening. You know, there's people working on thorium reactors, and this isn't really my realm, but, wow, if the claims they're making are true, then this is a way of making clean energy that's really inexpensive, and people can do it themselves.
Well, don't you get the visit from the FBI on that one? I mean, there's some kids kind of there go, no. You know, guys doing
it
in their backyard.
Well, I would love to see people try and see if it does happen. And if it does, they're not doing anything illegal, so who cares? So, you know, go ahead and do this stuff. I mean, the only way things happen is if we do it. We can't live our lives. We can, but it's not a great way to live your life out of fear. There are other options. We can live our life out of enthusiasm. We can live our life out of basing it on life rather than fear. And what comes out of that is amazing.
You know, what's your view of government's role in any of this stuff? Is it, you know, what's your philosophy? Is like, you know, they're just practically, they're just always in the way, or is it a philosophical thing, or, you know, what's your view of using tax money or whatever?
Yeah, you know, I would love it if governments, no matter how big or small, were there for its citizens. You know, then any amount we put in comes back to us in a big way. Unfortunately, this doesn't seem to be the case on our modern planet.
You know, I philosophically, I'm already there. You know, there's so many things to talk about. When we come back with Mitch Altman, we're going to find out some more opportunities that you might take advantage of. Maybe we can just, you know, start something here. We're already half there. We'll be right back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your
lies. Lies, 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 lies. You know what the big lie is? Is that you can't do it. You can 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 do it. And Mitch Altman wants to help you do it. He's going to learnify you. You know, one thing, a very basic thing, simple thing, you know, soldering, you would think that would be pretty easy. I was soldering, having all kinds of problems. You know, I was an adult. Heck, I was probably, you know, in my 20s or something, and I kept finding out, you know, there is something. You don't just melt the solder and it drops on the connection. You got to heat the connection so it makes a good contact and flux. I mean, it's not hard, but if you don't know that one little watch his comic book, you know, go get his comic, or something just to know that, you're wasting your time. But It's very simple, but it's a fundamental basic thing. And a lot of people, you hand them a hammer and man, they don't know what the heck to do. I found this so much of us doing some basic things. You have to, this is how you open a razor knife. I mean, it, you know, seriously. So this is how you change a blade. I mean, you know, this is very simple stuff, but once you give them the fundamentals, man, they're off and running. So I need Mitch to help us out by giving us any idea you have, any Kickstarter, anything you want to help other people. You know, this is what I'm interested in. I don't really have a lot of time or money or whatever, but I can be a good worker and learn something and get something out of helping somebody else do this stuff. But I need to know the right term to do a Google search on in my area to find people that want to do what I want to do. Help them out, Mitch.
It's super easy. You know, all you got to do is go to your favorite search engine and type in the name of your city and then hackerspace, and you will find the hackerspaces in your local area. And you know what? There's also hackerspaces.org, where all the hackerspaces in the world list themselves. It's a wiki, so you can list one there. And if there isn't one in your area, start one. That is exactly the way hackerspaces start, and that's how NoiseBridge started, is me and a friend started it, and that's how every hackerspaces around the world has started. Someone like you, and I don't mean the person on another radio who's listening. I mean you, the one listening now to my voice. People like you started it, because we can teach what we know, we can share what we know, we can learn from others. So all of this stuff is so much easier when we come together. We don't need the government to provide all these things for us. We don't need anyone to provide these things for us. We can get together and do this for ourselves. Any age, you know, any kid, anyone who's a teenager, anyone in their 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, we can all teach and learn and share and learn to live lives, inspire each other to live lives we love living, and whatever that means to you. Every hackerspace is unique to the community of people who started it, which attracts more people, which strengthens it, which attracts more people. All the hackerspaces around the world also help each other. This is why the movement has grown so big so rapidly. It's only been like 5 years. You know, at NoiseBridge, we're actually this tomorrow having our five-year anniversary party. We've been thriving all this time. It's amazing what happens when people come together to teach and to learn and share, to explore and do what you love in your life, whatever that is. So go search for that. And if there isn't one in your town, start one. It's great. It's amazing what happens when you do this. It's
okay,
a lot of
this
work.
Is what I just did. I go Hackerspace Phoenix, and there wasn't one in Phoenix, but there was one in Mesa and Chandler and Tempe and Tucson. And it says one of them here at Gangplank. 60 members. Gangplank is a group of connected individuals and small business creating an economy of innovation and creativity in the Valley. We envision a new economic engine comprised of collaboration and community where industries come together to transform our culture. We're not co-working. We are a collaborative workspace. All right.
Yeah, and there's also Heat Sink Labs, which is grew out of Gangplank.
And Heat Sink Labs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is... I was surprised that it was, you know, difficult for me to find someplace. You know, that's one thing I learned is if you don't know the right word, you're not using the right word to find it, and the people know how they organize themselves, you're not finding it. So you're a hackerspace in your city, and boom, you're going to find something, right?
It's super easy. Yep, that's all there is to it. You know, and at HeatSync, there was one woman who is creating her own scanning electron microscope with the tools that they have there.
Yeah.
They have an inexpensive Chinese laser cutter that they ordered and a machine shop with some, you know, decent but not fantastic tools and a group of people who are enthusiastic about it. That's all it takes. She has her own scanning electron
Hacking
microscope.
Hacking Arizona since 2009. Wow.
Yeah. And it's a great group. I did a workshop there. You know, it's one of the places of many that I've stopped at to do workshops. I do to share my enthusiasm.
You know, this is, are there, do you even welcome corporate sponsorships, or is there some politician wanting to throw some money at you? Or, I mean, how does this manifest itself in support?
Yeah, well, here's one of the things that's a bone of contention for me. So there are some municipalities that have subsidized rent because they're in a low, economically depressed part of a city, and this is a way to get people together and help that part of town and to spur on local economy. And stuff like that, I think, is great. On the other hand, there's the U.S. military is seeing the magic that's happening at hackerspaces where projects can get going with seemingly out from with nothing. And they want some of that magic. So there's an arm of the government called DARPA, the so-called Defense Advanced Research Project Administration, and they've been throwing money at hackers and hackerspaces. And unfortunately, when you throw money at this kind of magic, it makes the magic go away. So I think it really matters where you get your funding. If you have a bunch of people who are enthusiastically helping one another, and you can broaden that out with the internet and find other people who want to help you just by throwing a little bit of money in, that's great. You've got people who are aligned with your values. If, on the other hand, like me, I think we need defense, but our military isn't about defense. That's the way I look at it. Yeah. It's about making profit regardless of consequences, even if it means blowing other people up. And I don't want to support that myself. So there are people who've accepted large amounts of DARPA money, even though they don't agree with what DARPA is there for, which is to create new technology for the U.S. military. And by doing that, people start changing what they do. They're no longer doing it for because they love it. They're doing it for the money now. And there's nothing wrong with money, but it's really different focus. So we're not inspiring people to go off and live lives they love. We're really just doing what's already existing, which is people scrambling for more money, which is really different.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the money, making money. I'm all hip to money, but the only reason I want to do the money is increase my happiness, pursue my happiness. Yeah. And what if I'm got more dollars in the bank account and I'm less happy, what was the freaking point? So
yeah, exactly. You can make a living doing what you love, and how much money do you need to do that? It doesn't necessarily mean a maximum amount of money. It just means enough to live a life that you love, whatever that means to you. I mean, I do that. I make a living with this thing that I made, which is totally crazy. It's just a keychain that turns TVs off in public places. TV be gone. And I made one because I love it.
TV be gone.
TV be gone, and it can be gone. The chatter from that box isn't necessarily chattering on your behalf. And I like turning them off myself, and I love giving people the tools so they can turn it off if they want to, anywhere, not just at your home, but anywhere. And, the thing is, of course, since I love this thing, I have crazy friends who are crazy as me, and of course, they're going to love my thing as well, and they did, and they do. But it turns out also, which isn't also not unlikely, that many of my friends' friends also loved TV Be Gone and wanted one. But when it turned out that friends of friends of friends wanted them, which also is not unlikely, that's when I saw an opportunity, and that's the only way I've made money since 2004. It's the only way.
Wow,
and so,
man.
I make a living doing what I love. I make enough doing what I love so I can keep doing what I love. And what better definition of success is there than that?
Ding, 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 ding. You win. Okay? Mitch, thanks for coming on. Hopefully, I look forward to, now that we've been introduced, and there's a lot of things that we can do here and kind of help. And if you ever come in the Phoenix, come by and check out our stuff and so on. And I hopefully we can get back together again in the future. And stay right there. I want to talk to you some more before we go into our next guest. Next hour, we have Derek J. Freeman, victimless crime spree guy. We're trying to convince him to, help us with the revolution a little bit for Freeman Phoenix. And, all of our guys, I know that you would just love being part of our community, and we want to be part of yours. So we're going to go ahead and see if we can work that out during the break. We'll be right back with Derek J. in just a little bit. Thanks, Mitch.
From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Welcome back to the Clay Independence with me here in Stancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. IA from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. And we have Derek J. Derek J. on his victimless crime spree across America.
It's great to be with you, Ernie. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Derek. You know, this is, I just had a gentleman, I don't know if you were listening, I had a gentleman on the last hour. His name's Mitch Altman, and he does a thing called Noise Bridge. And what it is hacker spaces. You know, what he's doing is he goes around and he teaches people how to solder. You know, and here's how a microprocessor works, and little actuators, and this, you know, go make something. Like what? I don't know, something cool. Go
anything.
Go. And this is, I really wanted to see if I could get some kind of help, participation, inspiration on me doing my nanotube thing in the lab that I have. And I started looking at it. There's got to be somebody else out there doing this, you know, accumulated the same kind of equipment to be able, I'm going, wow, I'm starting to have some success. I'm starting to, you know, we need to take this in the, I'm like, you know, there's nobody. I'm going, come on, man, there's got to be some. Well, come to find out, if you used a hackerspace, if you use the right terminology, you can find all these guys. And I'm going, you know, this is what we're going to do. I think I made a decision. February of 2014, we're going to do probably our 10th, 11th Freedom Summit. And I'm going to make this Freedom Summit about makers. Maker spaces, hacker spaces, doing, you know what, we're going to the future and government's not invited. In my opinion, okay? Now, what happens is we need to, like, spread the love. Actually physically, actively be assertive about the love. Because I'm telling you, man, you want to get, is it getting bad and worse? What's the alternative? Our collective is going to beat your collective? Let's go ahead and we get, you know, all huddled up and get our camo on and do it. I mean, I'm all about being able to defend yourself and not, you know, just laying there getting executed. But I mean, I'm like, look, I'm willing to take the first slap, man. Boom. Oh, you want to play that way. But I'm willing to take it. I'm willing to take the first hit. Because I'm telling you, I don't want to go down the dark side. And I think that if we can express the love and we can embrace our neighbors and the neocons around us, all kind of my neighbor kind of, ooh, we know that's a bunch of Ron Paulin people over there because we see their bumper stickers and they have parties, that we can go ahead and start presenting them with things that they can tell that we care. And I'll tell you how it's in the self-preservation. If we don't take care of our neighbors, their neighbors are going to, you know, take advantage of our goodies. I mean, because it's going to get that bad. So we need to start now, and that's why I think of Derek J. Derek, you know, how are things going with you, man? Tell me everything.
Everything is excellent, Ernie. There's so much going on right now. What I've been focusing on lately, of course, I'm doing my Freedom in Exile tour because of the Victimless Crime Spree that you mentioned, and people can go and watch the movie Victimless Crime Spree at victimlesscrimespree.com. It's free. Go check it out. And but after that, now that I'm no longer welcome in New Hampshire, I am focusing on producing media that's positive, focused on presenting news that people can get behind and stand up and resist peacefully the aggression that they're faced constantly by governments. And I do that with a show called Peace News Now. You can check out our website at peacenewsnow.com. I just revamped the whole thing so it's shiny and sparkling and really pretty and easy to use. You should go there now and check out peacenewsnow.com. 7 days a week presenting you with a 5-minute podcast and 5 days a week with a video cast that you can watch, bringing you the day's news of peaceful resistance. This is things like 340 sheriffs who yesterday said that they're going to stand up and not enforce any new gun laws. Stuff, stories like that, stories you can get behind.
Okay, now this is what I'm pulling up because you said, here we go. Peace news now. There we are in at Purdy. Well, I don't know, man. You're depicting some bad stuff and bad people being bad. You know, this is, and that's, you know, define bad. Who's being bad? How would you go, well, you know, this guy's bad and these guys aren't? I mean, who's the bad guys?
So everything's got a silver lining, and it's really about the attitude and the way that you look at things. So, you know, there's bad news everywhere, and if you just absorb yourself in it, it can really bog you down and make you depressed. I've been there myself, and I'm a news junkie, so it's bound to happen. But what I like to do these days is put a positive spin on this stuff. For example, this morning I reported on a story where Bitcoin is now, there's a company that's allowing people to pay their local municipalities, their local taxes using Bitcoin. Now, that's not a good thing in my mind because I don't want people to pay taxes. But why it is a reason why I brought it up on the show is because it shows that alternative currencies are working and that they really do threaten the state. And that without organizations like this this company that's allowing people to pay their taxes in Bitcoins, you wouldn't have to pay the state at all. And indeed, you don't have to, thanks to things like Bitcoin. So this is why, you know, I like to report that alternative currencies are making news like this. That's a big deal. That's a good story. That's good news, even though it's sort of in a bad story.
Yeah, I'm the Bitcoin thing. I've covered it a lot, and I've had a lot of guys come on and explain it to me, and we did entire e-zines on it, you know, over a year ago that we've, you know, so I get it. The thing is that, you know, if I don't understand it, if I can't do it, I don't trust it, okay? So I see it might be a good way of exchange and a currency, you know, in exchange, but not really a store of wealth. Kind of what's going on now, everybody's taking all their stuff from their play funny paper money and putting it into Bitcoin, and it shoots through the roof. I don't know what it is now. It's probably close to $100 or something a piece, and I'm getting them back when they were eight. I mean, you know, so I'm just going, all right, I'll just hold on to those for a little while. At some time, you know, but it's what you're saying. It is a demonstration of how easy and how fast you can replace all this fiat crap. Now, I am of the opinion, if I had to give advice to someone, learn about Bitcoin, we take Bitcoin, I spend Bitcoin, but man, if I'm going to store me some wealth, it's going to be in, I can hold it silver or something. You know, so this is just a demonstration of how fast this entire thing is going to, I go to people, a lot of my friends, my age and older, and they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, because when I was a young activist in the 20s, you know, what were they? In their 40s, you know, so they weren't very old. As time goes on, all of a sudden, the age bracket shifts, and I go, look, you see all this stuff around you? You see all this? It's going away. It's not going to be like this. There's no, everything you see is the entire structure of society is going to be different. And if you're going to change, which way do you want to change? And I want to change and go where Derek Jay's going. Where are you going,
Derek?
Well,
I think Bitcoin is just one example of how encouraging this future is and how quickly people are able to adapt and change to a decentralized form of living. So Bitcoin is just one example of the great changes that are coming down the pipes. But also on Peace News Now, I always focus on a story that's coming out of New Hampshire. New Hampshire has always got some civil disobedience happening any day of the week. And so it's very exciting to be able to cover stories that are happening in the Shire and focus focus on what's going on there, even though I'm not there myself.
You know, I understand that, and we do the same kind of thing. I'm really looking, if not looking for the stories or even creating the stories of those helping their neighbors. I mean, of just, you know, bringing them along. Now, we saw a lot of this during the beginnings of the Levolution and how people were waking up. And what was the big story? The big story were all the adults that were being brought into the movement by their children. And I'm going, okay, man, if that isn't telltale. So now we need to, you know, if we can bring in some of the most hardened neoconning individuals that are love of the state. And we had, on Next News Network, what were they showing this morning? They were showing IRS employees protesting about how they're going to have to live without health care. And they didn't know when the furloughs or the sequester is going to take money away from them and their family as IRS employees. You see my point? Maybe we can love them too.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, he's a coming, but you don't want it. You know, it'd be a threat to the man. You know, it's just not necessary. You want to love him like Derek J. loves him. You know, that's one thing that I thought was very interesting about how Derek did his activism. It's just very nice to the officers. He just, you know, didn't, like, you know, poke him in the eye or, you know, spit on him or anything. He's just like, you know, yeah, do your thing. We're just going to document and whatever. And it's one thing that Gandhi was very famous for doing. He goes, you know, you want by their oppression to see themselves through our eyes. Once the world does that, once you can see that, once you watch Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree movie, you know, once you get what's going on, you go, oh, the power of, I don't know, limelight on stuff. You know, and I wonder where that term limelight came from. You know, it's lime that they, you know, like an arc that they would create an enormously bright light, these big spotlights. That's what limelight is. So it's just very bright light. So I'm just going, you know, Derek does this, but he's going out in the open using, you know, Google. You know, it's like, it's not like they're not watching you, but sometimes you need them to. You want them to. You know, the very bad guys is checking on you. You want to convert them too. You know, they got to change their agents every couple of weeks, or, you know, they just keep coming converted. So Derek J does that very well. Tell me about some of the methods that you use to do that.
Absolutely, Ernie. Well, thank you for laying it on so thick. I love listening to you and talk about Victimless Crime Spree. And happy birthday, by the way. I don't know if you heard it earlier in the first segment, but I did want to say happy birthday to you this fine day.
Thank you.
And also, yes, so the way I like to present volunteerism and the way I like to live my life is by engaging in voluntary interactions exclusively. I don't like to do anything that I'm forced to do. And so, yeah, for example, in Victimless Crime Spree, people will see during the scene of Give Peace a Chance, where I openly attempt to smoke a bowl of or a marijuana pipe, I ask the police officer, do you mind if I smoke? You know, because that's the courteous, polite thing to do. And if we want to live in a polite society, in a peaceful society, that's the kind of action that we need to take. We need to treat every person like a valuable human being who has not just an intrinsic value,
say?
Or that you should
he
be polite,
said?
But you should be very polite. You should show your love.
And what did he say? He said?
He said you can do whatever you want.
Go whatever you want.
Which is also a lovely thing for him to say.
As he's sitting on the bench, you know, 8 inches from you, sitting there just kind of da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you go, you mind if I smoke? You think he knew you were going to pull out some marijuana?
Yeah, he saw it in my hand. He said he saw it in my hand.
Oh, he's
said,
like, go right
I
on
ahead. I see the pipe in your hand, so if you're going to do it, then do it.
Did he arrest you?
Right there.
Did he arrest you?
No, actually, he did not arrest me. He was on the piece of paper as the arresting officer, but in fact, he pointed to me and told another woman to arrest me. So I don't know what the whole, like, police structure, how that all works, but
how
it
do you
says
think
he was the arresting officer because he pointed.
How do you think he felt about himself doing that? Do you think he was doing the right thing?
Well, I think he felt totally scummy because he had to take something from out of my hands. That's stealing in anyone's mind. I don't know. I don't care who you are. When you've brought a person to the point where they have to take something out of your hands, there's no way they can't feel that they're being a thief. And what was the most interesting thing about personally connecting with these officers is that the woman who he pointed and said, take him, she had a discussion with me just minutes before this where I say to her, you know, miss, we're strangers, so let's make an agreement. I won't put my hands on you. You won't put your hands on me. Can you agree to that? She said, yeah. And then when it came time to arrest me, she couldn't do it because she would be breaking her agreement. And you can watch this video. It's fascinating to see her eyes as she says, you know, as she starts to see, oh, crap, I'm going to have to arrest this guy. That means I'm going to have to put my hands on him. That means I'm going to have to break this agreement that I made on video. Now I look like the bad guy. And I think that's a really powerful way to communicate these messages. Everybody understands that you don't put your hands on strangers. So it should apply during a victimless crime arrest as well, shouldn't it?
Yeah, no, I this is the power of what you're... You see, I was very critical of... I'm like, you know, privately, I'm talking to Ian Freeman over, you know, at the LRN Free Talk Live, and it's... I go, does everybody have to go up to Keene and get arrested? Is that like your minimum job requirement for going up there? I mean, what the heck is going on, man? I go, what are you going to do? Tell me they're really, 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 really bad? I mean, you know...
No, it's just bound to happen. When people are living free... You know, and taking the consequences, these aggressors are they don't like it. And
no,
they take you away and put you in a cage.
The
they don't like
that
to see people living free. It sets a bad example. It might catch on.
Well, the fact that you were documenting it and you got the movie out to really make this point, I can see how it was worth it. It was worth it, certainly, to me, but I'm not the one that was sitting in jail, you know?
Well,
and I remember last time...
It's worth it to me to live my life. You know, I'm not going to be... I think there's a quote, I can't remember exactly to whom to attribute it, but... I'm not going to be my own jailer. You know, that's someone else's job. I'm here to be on God's green earth and live my life as free and happy and prosperous and peaceful as I can. And if someone else wants to put me in a concrete cage, that's their business.
Not going to be your own jailer. I like it. I like it. I like it. Where'd you hear that? Or did you make it up?
I wish I could remember to whom to attribute that quote. And if I look it up on the next break, I will certainly let your listeners know. But that comment really stuck with me.
Oh, that's
I'm
powerful.
Not going to impose other people's rules onto myself.
Wow.
I will follow the rules that are written in my own heart.
Don't want to be your own jailer. That's powerful. The reason it's so powerful is because it's so true. You know, I mean, we have entire generations that are their own jailers.
Absolutely. These people are walking around. They don't mind. They'll smoke 1,000 joints a day. They're smoking blunts. They love it. They're, oh, yeah, the drug war. But then, boom, you know, you say, well, why don't you take that blunt outside? Why don't you walk around the park? Or why don't you, you know, walk down your street while you're smoking that pipe? And, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Well, you know, if these people... They don't even realize that they're being their own jailers by going inside and hiding to enjoy their substance that they enjoy smoking weed. It doesn't hurt anybody. They could be doing this out in the open. They are living as their own jailers, and I don't think they like to face that reality.
You know, one of the things that, you know, my generation put up with was this Berlin Wall thing. I mean, I was a young person. I'm in my, you know, early 20s and everything, you know, in high school coming up and living with the Berlin Wall, and we just knew that was stupid as hell. There is no way that thing. And older generation, it was like it was this, you know, the Great Wall of China or something. It was never going to go away. It needed to be there. It's like almost they went and leaned up against it and got some kind of warmth from it or something on both sides. I mean, you know, I'm just going, wow, man, they're jacked up in the head. When it fell... It was just like, well, duh. It was such a surprise to people older than us. And I'm like, wow, man, what kind of prison do you have in your head? And the same thing has been happening with the drug war. They see the drug war as this generation's Berlin Wall. Like, it's never going to go down. Then all of a sudden, one day it goes down. Why? Because we freed ourselves up here. This is where you free yourself, just to know what should be. Now, what happens follows... The what should be in our heads. The revolution, the revolution between the ears. Derek J. More when we come back on Declare Your Independence.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, we're right back. We're right back with Derek J. I want to get right back to Derek J. Derek J., tell me, man, you know, Peace News Network, you know, what is it you're trying to accomplish? What are you doing? Tell everybody.
All right, Peace News Now is at peacenewsnow.com. Everybody who loves peace and loves news should absolutely check it out right now. It's about promoting the messages of peace and peaceful resistance so that people can be empowered. I'm sick of these news stories where it's just more tyranny coming down the pipes, more hopelessness, nothing you can do, the tyranny has got its grip on you. None of that. That's not true. It's only true if you believe it, if you accept that reality. Well, I reject that reality. I say that you are in control of your own life and that the future is getting better every day, and we've got to report on these stories of peaceful resistance. People are standing up to say no, and they stand up to say no in some creative ways. It's not just people in Tibet who are lighting themselves on fire. It's regular Joes like the sheriff in your town who's standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to enforce any more gun laws. It's people who are on Delta Airlines who are saying just earlier this week, oh, sorry, we got a delay. We're going to treat you to a pizza party. There are good things happening in this world, and everyone needs to know about it. It's uplifting. It's a good way to start the day, and it's informative.
You know, the one thing that I can see that it does is that it shows that there is a happy club somewhere out there in life, and it doesn't have any borders or geography, or, you know, there's not a limit to who gets to be in the club. It's a happy club. And if you're not happy, or you're being tyrannical, and you're wearing a shiny badge and, you know, the fine hat and, you know, your gun, you know, you're not in the happy club. I'm like, oh.
Unfortunately, you're not in the happy club, but we'd love to have you. You just need to come over to peacenewsnow.com and watch some of the videos, and your mind will be transformed. Hopefully, that's what I really would like to go for, and I hope I'm not revealing too much to your listeners, but I put a five-minute program on. It plays a bunch of times a day on a bunch of networks. LRN, of course, is one of them, and I want to be brain-transforming. I want to be brainwashing in a sense by letting my listeners allow themselves to hear the positive news stories and to create a more positive existence for their own lives. You know, to maybe say, I never felt encouraged, or I never felt the way the call to civilly disobey, but today I do. Or I've heard enough stories of peaceful resistance that I finally feel like I'm at the point where I want to disobey, or I'm going to stand up for myself. It's not like I want people to all land in jails. That's not productive either. But creating a mentality of positivity and focusing on freedom, that's a good thing. I don't have any time to focus on the negative stuff.
You know, this is why behind the scenes, you know, I've been trying to encourage Derek J to have some participation in our social networking. We're hiring people, and I've been interviewing a lot of people and going over, you know, people sending me notes and talking to them and everything. And the skills that it takes to do the social networking and understand all the different variations of Facebook and, you know, blah, 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 the Google Plus, the Twitter, the LinkedIn, the Pinterest, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There's going to be more. The problem is that you need someone with the right perspective. I think Derek has that. I want to give money to Derek for him to be able to select from our enormous archive, and a lot of it. We have 50, 70 stories a day that goes through that just directly goes automated straight to our Facebook page. But that is not necessarily the Facebook face that I want to put on. Freedom's Phoenix is a wide radar screen of neocons and the left and the right and the progressive, socially, whatever. You know, everybody gets to have their say, and you learn a lot from that, because that's what's libertarian about it, is everybody gets to have their say. But when we do the e-zine or the newsletter, that is totally different. That's a little bit more kind of focused on what we want to have shared. Then the Facebook, I kind of want to narrow that down a little bit too, to have the face of love. Now, who do we go to do that? That's what I'm trying to find out. Now, if I can help Derek J promote his Peace News Now, you know, and him have a kind of a flavor endorsement of, and we kind of, for as long as we can get along with each other, you know, I want Derek, you know, because I think we share the same mentality. And if we, you know, can, you know, take and empower the people into changing their mindset up here, this is what I have been doing my entire adult life, has been to change the direction of people in a social structure as part of their culture. And I think Derek understands that. If you got somebody else in mind that understands more than Derek, you let me know. But you can. I just want to be public about that and your consideration of this, because I'm telling you, Derek, I think we're on the same page.
Well, I'm honored to be considered. I love Freedom's Phoenix and all the wonderful news that I'm able to find there. It does absolutely have a variety of news stories, but always behind the scenes, that flavor of positivity in the forefront, and that message of love always pervading through the news stories coming out of Freedom's Phoenix. So I always enjoy that.
You know, we
and I'd be happy to be a part of it too. I love promoting peaceful stories of positive resistance.
Let's go ahead and
take
the time you need to get your whatever stuff, your house in order, and what you got to do and everything. And when you're ready, you know, I flip a switch, boom, done. And I know you got a lot of resources and other people that probably understand, you know, how the page should be set up more and named and what kind of blah, 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 all that Facebooky, I don't care
crap. Yeah, to people who are listening right now, get in touch with me. If you know stuff about Facebook networking and stuff, host at peacenewsnow.com. That's my email address. Go email me all your tips.
Well, tell me about your Google Plus effort. You kind of started putting some effort into Google Plus.
Let
What's
me talk
that about
this. That's one of the things that Peace News Now does. Of course, we have a podcast that comes out 7 days a week. We've got videos that come out 5 days a week. You can see it all at peacenewsnow.com. But that's not all we do. We also interview the newsmakers, the people who are standing up to disobey the man. And you can do that at peacenewsnow.com. There's a little link that says Hangout Calendar. You can see who's coming up on who I'm going to be interviewing for the next Google Hangout. We do an interactive Google Hangout at least once a week with a newsmaker, someone who has been in one of the recent Peace News Now stories, and you can tune in, not only watch and chat live, but you can actually call in and ask questions yourself to the newsmakers. All of those videos get uploaded to our YouTube channel, so you can watch them for the rest of time. It's very exciting, and we've got some great people who are coming up. We're going to be reporting on what's happening with Eustace Conway. Liz Reitzig is a regular guest of the show. She's influential with Raw Milk Freedom Riders. Eddie Free is another guest, and we've got one coming up who's presenting an alternative news feed, sort of an alternative to the Drudge Report. So it's very exciting, and I know you're not a big fan, Ernie, of Google, but I'm not afraid, because I'm putting a peace message out there, and I'm not afraid of the man knowing who I am. I think the more people who are not afraid, who are going to use these tools for peace and for good and for spreading a positive message, the more people who are out there like us, the safer we all are.
You know, it's not that I approve or disapprove, that's not my point. My point is that you and I are very influential to a lot of people that will, you know, try to, you know, take what we do and expand it or mimic it or do, and they go, oh, they did that, let's go and go out and we're going to do what they want. And they want to do something maybe just a little bit different. They want to emphasize, you know, how many guns they got. Or they want to emphasize, you know, what they're going to kind of, and they think that they can get away with it, and like they're not surveilled or they're not being targeted, or they need a good example. I've seen this happen over and over and over. People that I know to be good people, they just weren't savvy to how surveilled they were. And you'll say the wrong thing in the wrong way, boom, the man's coming and visiting, and you do time. So I'm going, look, don't, you know, it's like, you know, don't try this at home. Well, yeah, you're going to try it at home, and we encourage you to do this and express yourself. But that's why I emphasize the love. You can't go wrong if you're always emphasizing how to peacefully interact with each other. You can, you know, disobey. You can do this, you know, a passive resistance and just kind of, hell no, I'm not playing, and do what Derek J did and chronicled in his victimless crime spree. Derek J's victimless crime spree, you need to watch it. Because I'm telling you, that is the example of what I'm trying to get. If you do anything else, you want to get all violent, or you want to, you know, mobilize against a man or something like that, they don't like it. You know, you say one little thing on Facebook and you wind up in a you crazy bin or something. Be careful.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your back gets colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself.
It's right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Derek J. You know, where is love? Where is the love in the media? Where is the love in the news? Where is the love in your life? You know, that's the power right there. It's where is the love? And I'm telling you, we're starting to see a manifestation of this around the world. This is not just a geographical thing. More than anything else, it's a generational thing. Generation next. And they are infecting, and we saw it. You know, we saw it during the Lovevolution beginning, you know, where they're getting exposed to the message of freedom and liberty, you know, thanks to Dr. Paul helped to popularize that. But it's much bigger than just him. You know, this has been around for a long time. This has moved entire cultures, countries, world, planets, ships, spaceships. I mean, everything that we have has been, you know, infected by the love. And then they have to suppress it. You know, it's like the 60s and 70s. Oh, man, you know, way too many flowers, okay? You know, we got to squish the flowers, you know, the man. Well, we're going, you know what? We just need to love you more. We're just going to, you can't beat me over the head if I'm hugging on you, you know? So the thing is that I can see this power. It's not just a philosophical thing as much as it is also a practical thing. It is a weapon. It is a tool. Love is powerful, and it sticks. If you're always doing fear, 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 this is where we had the Smashing Pumpkin guy talking to Alex Jones going, hey, man, get off that fear mountain. What the hell? You know, you quit. And that's a big criticism. Last time I was on Alex's show, you know, he and I kind of went at it a little bit. You know, I was just going, look, man, you know, yeah, if you quit being so paranoid, all those people will stop following you. He goes, they're really there. I go, I know, but so what? You know, they need love, too. So this is, I can see this infection coming planetary. And Derek J is one of the young, influential future generation. He's going to be more of a part of this than I think even he realizes. You know, keep in mind, you know, I'm a big supporter of guys like, you know, I'm selective. You know, I put the show over on LRN because I like the guys over there. That's it. I mean, there's other bigger ones I can do and offers to do kind of whatever. Nope, LRN, because these guys are in line, you know, what I think. Then you have, you know, so, of course, Ian Freeman and Mark, you know, you're working with them. Then you have, you know, like Derek J and Adamo and Pete Dyer and Adam Kokesh and Jordan Page and all these guys, and Gary Frank. I mean, all these guys are people that I associate with because they make me better. And they help make you better. Derek, I'm glad you're there, man. I want to help. So
I'm so glad to be here. And you're absolutely right. It's a generational thing that I've observed. You know, thank you and your generation and all the wonderful people who have laid the groundwork and the people who came even before you did, who laid the groundwork even more. But I'm seeing just something really beautiful because I'm thankful to be a part of the generation who never knew life without the internet. And there are lots of people like me and more who are coming after me. And what's different is that we don't take "I don't know" for an answer. Something, if we want to get to the bottom of we have a question, we want to know, we've got the whole wealth of human knowledge to go seek. We can use the internet and find the answers that we have questions to. And what a lot of people my age are asking, and younger, is how did I get responsible for this debt? Why does the government work the way it does? Why don't politicians ever follow up on their promises? Hey, wait, didn't that politician say that they were going to do something different than they said that they were going to do now? So these questions are just becoming more and more obvious as video cameras are ubiquitous and these news reports are becoming able to be delivered by everyday average people like myself. These inadequacies by government are just going to be further and further highlighted to the point where people are going to say, I'm not putting up with this crap anymore. I'm not going to pay for it. And I'm not going to be my own jailer so that these bureaucrats in Washington can live off of the things that I produce. No way. We're not going to have it. And thank goodness it is a generational shift. It's going to take a lot of people standing up to say, no more. Shackles off today. And the thankfully, I see that coming.
The entire wealth of human knowledge in my hand right here, you know, at 4G. I mean, you know, this is going, it also, I go, yeah, well, it's surveilled and everybody knows what, yeah, I know, but they don't even understand it. They can't, you know, the bad guys, they're looking at the wrong, all they're looking is I tell you what it's like so you can understand, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Derek. What it's like is Mr. Smith in the Matrix, okay? You could have raping, pillaging, murdering, warring, whatever inside the Matrix, and they don't care. There's just, it's distraction, entertainment. You're just into power in the machine. Go in, you know, whatever. It's the second you start to challenge the Matrix that here comes the guy with the shiny sunglasses, black suits, and little curly things in their ears. They're going, hello. You're not allowed to challenge the Matrix itself. So when you do challenge the Matrix itself, how would you do it? Would you go directly at them? Screw them. You just start unplugging people. How many minds can you free? And at some point, you get to where how many asses can you save? You know, and a lot of times they're two in the same thing. So I'm just going, all right. I love humanity enough, and certainly myself. Don't ever think it's not a selfish thing. I do this because I love me and my family and my grandchildren. And the only way I know to be free is to advocate it for everybody. What do you think Christ is going around, or Gandhi, or Martin Luther King Jr.? They're all going about how you treat your enemy. That's the power, is how you treat your enemy. Of course you're going to love your friends and family. It's how you treat your enemy. And they see that as a threat way more than you guys think. They need you afraid. They need to put fear. They need you to watch television, and all of a sudden you get some big, giant, boo, scary, whatever movie trailer you got. What the hell is that doing on the Disney Channel? I mean, you know, I'm like, what the heck? And it's they need to instill fear into young people. You go to a movie, watch the trailers, the first one, go, well, I didn't pay to get scared. Hell, I got to close my eyes, got to put my hands over my ears to keep from being exposed to this. Like, they need us to
Ernie,
be afraid.
It's encouraging how much they're trying to make people afraid. You know, when you grew up, perhaps you watched Andy Griffith. I also enjoyed Andy Griffith growing up. But then when I start protesting and I start exercising my First Amendment right, I'm met with stormtroopers from Star Wars. These people don't look like Andy Griffith at all. And it's encouraging to me. Not because, you know, in the way that Alex Jones might say, oh my gosh, you have to be afraid. No, the fact that they think that they need to use that type of scary materials and scary weaponry and hardcore force against people who are peacefully protesting and questioning their legitimacy, that tells me that they've got nothing. That tells me that they are at their last, they're at the end of the rope. They don't know what to do. They're using as much force as they can possibly muster. That means they're finished.
Shock and awe from the very outset. That is their mindset. I will get compliance, or comply or die. I mean, this is, and that's a morally bankrupt position from the beginning. So they've
already
lost.
And they do want us to be afraid. But if you let them have that power over you, if you let them make you afraid, remember that it is always under your power. You always have the power to let people either make you afraid, or you can ignore them. Jason Talley, a wonderful activist, I was telling him personally how afraid I am to go into a courtroom because of what I saw happen when he was carried away for having a camera. And he said, I don't give them that power over me. And that was very inspiring to me, that he was not afraid, and he will not let them make him afraid, because then once you are afraid, that you have given them, you gifted your enemies total power over your body, over your mind, over your emotions. Don't give them that power over you.
From Dune, fear is the mind killer. Fear is the mind killer.
Fear is a way that people want to use to control you. If you don't let them have that, then you're left with just loving them, and they've got nothing to combat that.
You know, they think they do, but it just empowers you even more. I mean, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people, they go to me and they go, well, Ernie, you know, who are your friends? Who's supporting you? Who's this? Who's that? I said, a lot of times you tell the effectiveness or who someone is by their enemies. You know, who's opposing them? Who's actively going after them? Who? What? You know, well, tell you, the guy's going after Derek J. Definitely, if they're all bad, evil, you know, blood-dripping, fang-horn-wearing, ponytail people, what does that make him? So I'm like, you know, hey, thanks for coming on. It's always good to talk
My
to
pleasure.
You.
My pleasure. Thanks, Ernie. Happy birthday.
Yeah, you know, hold on. I want to talk to you a little bit. You know, this is not done. You know, I can see the path building up. You know, there's going to be a confrontation. We're going to have to go and take the ramparts and take the ring of power from him and put it on and be behind the lever of power, and it'll be us. Or we could just love them and, you know, just beat them up with that. It's a lot easier, a lot more fun.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Unafeared individuals, man. We got one after another, or what? Well, I'll tell you another one. You know, Jennifer Jones, she's out in Quartzsite. We had Ed Foster, the mayor of Quartzsite, on yesterday getting us an update on stuff going on. You know, it's like my spidey senses were going off, you know? I'm going, it's time to call these guys and kind of check out where they, yep, man, did I pick a good time or what? So this is what we're going to do. Jennifer Jones, let me just tell you, you know, how she came to notice on the planet. And I was getting emails and phone calls from Australia, you know, a lot of English-speaking countries. I don't think probably made in a lot of other languages, but man, all over the world, anybody that spoke English, you're like, yeah, because this is what happened. Here you have a woman that had a complaint about local government. The mayor, which is now Ed Foster, his first time he was elected, then he's out, then he's back in. I mean, you know, it's a long story, but Ed Foster is mayor, representing the people, went in there to find it, man, what the heck is going the corruption of and money and this? Oh, you're not allowed to look. Well, he recognizes a lot of people. I mean, there's like, you know, it's packed. People are like, what the heck? I just got my municipal water, sewer, trashy bill, and it's three times. Well, I came here to live a inexpensive, leave-me-alone life, and all of a sudden, you guys are just like every other government, just keep jacking up. What the heck? So they're there. They want to know what's up. He recognizes Jennifer. Jennifer gets to the microphone. She said, this is what's up. All of a sudden, get a little nod from one of the city councilmen or something that I guess he controls the chief of police. What? All of a sudden, they go up and just take her away from the microphone. Just drag her away. After being recognized by the mayor to speakers, this is what's going on. Oh, hell no. We don't want anybody to know what's going on, and she don't get to say it, and boom, and haul her off. This is on video. You know, somebody's got their video camera on. You know, the gentleman there, he puts it up. All of a sudden, it went planetary. Planetary. Well, then it started to uncover all kinds of stuff. We start finding out all kinds of things. We start finding out that, you know, the vast majority of the entire police force, you know, write a collective letter to county attorney's office or whomever and say, hey, man, we don't have nothing to do with all this evil that's going on here because it's going to come down on us and we don't want to fire them all. So this is like, you know, so Oath Keepers go there. We had Jordan Page come and play. We do live radio shows from Quartzsite to demonstrate one thing. Government is the same at every level. There's always going to be the law enforcer, the guy with the shiny badge and the gun. There's going to be a guy telling them to do it. That's the city manager. You need to go get, and these people are, you know, in our way. Then you have who's going to say it's okay to do it. There's some municipal judge or somebody there saying, yeah, it's okay. And then you got the prosecuting city attorney that's, you know, going after it. So, I mean, it's just there's each one of these positions are filled at an international planetary level. Be it the United Nations, De La Central Banking, U.S. government, kind of state, whatever, down to itty-bitty little Quartzsite. So this is the experience that we have from Jennifer Jones in her quest to get something. What is it that you're trying to get, Jennifer? Why are you doing this?
You know, I'm starting to wonder exactly why I'm doing this. You know, it didn't seem like it would take this long. I mean, I didn't expect anything to happen overnight. But I guess that it's become a municipal experiment. You know, in other words, what happens if, you're kind of asking questions, what happens if I go to the governor and there's election fraud and I go to the Secretary of State's office and knock on their door? What happens if the town manager illegally supplants, you know, tens of thousands of grant money and builds herself an animal shelter on the water treatment plant that's going to be run by her private charity and nobody audits the grant? What happens if these illegal acts happen And you know, what form do you fill out? What agency do you go to? Who do you go to for help? And what we're finding out on Sportside is you can knock on all the doors you want, not very much happens. As a matter of fact, they start investigating you for asking too many questions.
You know, it reminds me of a, it's always about who asks the questions gets targeted. You're not allowed to ask the question. That is, you know, questions are very powerful. But what's the question that you ask more often that you think really reveals their mindset?
I think at this point, the question we're all asking is how high up does it go? The cover up. I mean, we actually, as this has progressed, we've discovered, and I'll give you an example, when those police officers, 70% of our police force filed a vote of no confidence, they were investigated, really, more than the chief. But what was really revealing, as we found out recently, when one of those officers was interviewed, he recorded his interview. When the report was finally released by the Department of Public Safety, 20 minutes of his interview had been edited out. Why? The other officers thought that there might be something missing from their interviews. Why would the Department of Public Safety edit, you know, evidence? And that report on their allegations was completed really within like 6 months. And yet, even though I filed an open records request with Detective Pete White from DPS saying that I wanted it as soon as it was finished, that report was withheld from the public for 8 months, and I find out that it was withheld at the request of the town's attorneys, who are tied into the Arizona Municipal Risk Retention Pool and the League of Cities and Towns. So how do you get to suppress a public document paid for with public money for 8 months in the hopes that it will all go away? Because the summaries of what the officer's testimony was not reflective of the actual audios. So if you actually listen to this stuff, it showed that the officers were telling the truth. And yet, we fired all our officers, and not only did we keep the police chief they complained about, the council gave him a raise and a contract that rolled for 3-year consecutive terms. So even if they wanted to not renew it, which they did finally choose to do, we're still stuck with him until 2015.
You know, it's because they are the way they are. You know, this, when you're dealing with government and you know where the skeletons are buried, you know, they take care of their own because they know just how culpable they are and a lot of other, you know, areas of corruption. I'll tell you how high it goes, to the highest. I mean, it goes to, you know, international corporations, they allow whatever. You know, let me show the people online that are watching the video. I want to show you something. Take a look at this map, okay? I'll try and describe it to you. It shows from Phoenix. It has like a Google Earth map, road map, whatever. Phoenix to the west, about 100 miles or so, 120 miles or whatever it is, to Quartzsite. And right past Quartzsite, you see it says Blythe, and you see a big green valley right there. Well, that's the Colorado River that's running north and south there on the border between Arizona and California. That green valley there, that's from water. That's from underground water. There's another valley, you know, even further to the west there, that's even more. Now, Quartzsite is in a valley. You'll see like a dry riverbed that runs right through Quartzsite and 95, a highway that goes from the Interstate 8 below like Yuma going all the way down to Hermosillo, which is a port in the Gulf of California in Mexico. The plan is, and we know, anybody that's been around for any amount of time knows that they're doing this Can-Mexican, you know, North American, Mexico, warm water port, bypassing L.A.'s clogged port when we have an economy, and going up to Las Vegas and on into Canada. That 95, that bullseye or Quartzsite is sitting on an ocean of water and an ocean of desert for doing solar. That could very well be the next Phoenix. You think I'm kidding? This is it. There is a push pin in Quartzsite, and I don't think they realize how big it is. But you start climbing up the ladder of corruption, you start finding out who knows more about who knows when we come back.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Going on that have had a much greater impact on a lot of people around the state than people realize, because it's being paid attention to by state legislators, you know, by candidates, by local officials and people in the know, because the entire structure is so corrupt from top to bottom that the only thing that they understand is actuarial information about how what their risk is and money it's going to cost and who gets taken going to jail, and they don't have the money, kind of, you know, money. Well, Jennifer's like, oh, you want to pay attention? Let me show you how we're going to do it with the money. Lawsuits. So let's talk about that. You know, your lawsuits and the impact it's had on the city government and how they can even function. Tell us about that.
Well, the Arizona Municipal Risk Retention Pool, which I believe 97 cities and towns and things in the state share, pool their money into the insurance, and then the claims come out of the shared monies. They had an unprecedented record-setting amount of lawsuits against the town of Quartzsite in like 2011, 2012, I think it was. They had something like 40 lawsuits identified.
40?
They fired all kinds of town employees who were in the know and got rid of them. They fired the officers who complained. I've got a couple of federal lawsuits against them. You know, and I intend to carry that football all the way to federal court in Phoenix. I know that a lot of these people, Michael Ross, Dana Stadler, you know, the cops, they'll probably, you know, eventually come to some kind of agreement and try and put this behind them. But I have a problem with that, because when you take a deal, you can't talk about it. And I want to get to the bottom of who ordered this, who told you to do it, who told them to do it. I want to put these people on the stand, and I want to play it out in front of God and everybody in a federal court in Phoenix, where every news station in town can camp out on the doorstep like it's Jodi Arias trial.
Oh, you are so done. Okay.
I'm serious. You and
no, I know you are, and I know they know too. Let me tell you what's going on. You know, the people understand what's happening. Risk management is a pooling of money to where they kind of self-insure. You know, it's kind of like an insurance thing for municipalities being bad. Well, they overfunded. I mean, of course, that's how insurance works. You put a bunch of money in there. And what happened, there was at some point where they could see their risk was really getting up. You have risk management having done these cases before and so on. And they go, you know what? You need to get something on them. You need to arrest them. You need to start doing background checks on you. It was risk management that was telling the chief of police to do the background checks repeatedly on you, correct?
Well, that's his testimony, and it's also the testimony of former town manager Alexander Taft, that July 10th Sunday secret meeting where they declared the state of emergency and everybody thought there was martial law and, you know, what was going on, that she testified to the Department of Public Safety that she was advised to do that by risk management. Declare an emergency. Get control of this thing, you know.
Oh, man. This is, see, what is the proper role of government? you know, defense of the rights of the individual. And they have used the force of government to quell the rights of the individual because it threatened the state. Mr. Smith, in his shiny glasses, black suit, and little curly thing, in his ear in the Matrix, you've been challenging the Matrix itself. You're so not allowed. And they, the entire force of centralized planning will come against little old Jennifer. But they messed with the wrong person. So
you're damn straight they did, Ernie.
I'm just like, you know, sometimes it always comes down to the individual and they're going to. But, you know, Mike Roth, I got to tell this story real quick, is a gentleman that, you know, same kind of thing, going up against whatever. And all of a sudden a city councilman goes like this. This is how it went. This is big news all over the country. I want his gun rights taken away. And the local law enforcement go and take his guns and him be disarmed because as a city councilman, I am afraid of what I might do to him if I see him again. I mean, seriously, that's what the argument was, right?
That's absolutely what the argument was. And even worse, former councilman Joe Winslow, he said, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. I medicated for my mental illness and a member of the Disabled American Veterans, and I'm so upset by Mr. Roth that I bought a gun, but I want his taken away. And
they did it.
Yeah, they did it. Justice of the Peace Karen Slaughter out of Siloam actually ordered the police to go to Mr. Roth's home and take away his guns, and he had to surrender them and fight to get them back. And in the end, I think she got a reprimand from the Judicial Review Board. But, you know, these kind of things were happening. They were just happening in a vacuum until I convinced people to start running their video camera and asking for copies of reports. And, you know, I had to kind of explain to these people that if you want to preserve your rights, they're not going to protect themselves. You have to participate in this a little bit here, you know.
Well, you have your own newspaper that you use. What's it called?
It's called the Desert Freedom Press. You can read it online at thedesertfreedompress.blogspot.com. And I started it before I was drug out at a meeting and all that, but I started it because these stories were happening in a vacuum. And even though I'd never even had a parking ticket, didn't know any of the police officers or anything like that, In about a 2-year period, I was falsely arrested 5 times, and if you want to count the individual zoning charges levied against me in addition to the misdemeanors and one felony, I was charged with about 620-something individual charges, and out of 600-something individual charges, I was acquitted or the charges were dropped on all counts. So that's why I have so many lawsuits pending or coming or currently filed against the town.
They have been just doubling down, though. I mean, whenever you go up again, they just come back. Yeah, well, gun, badge, uniform, hat, car, boom, I win, boom. You know, go ahead, resist. Try and be, you know, do something. It's like they almost want you to resist them violently so they can shoot you.
Well, and you know, this is what's funny is it backfired on them because as much of a mouth as Mr. Roth can have on him sometimes, you know, he never loses his temper. And the opponents to the local town government have literally been pushed, shoved, elbowed, poked, prodded in every possible physical way, assaulted, and in front of the police chief. And at every opportunity, the perpetrator was allowed to walk away, and the complainer was falsely arrested. But in the end, because there was like 40 lawsuits identified in a 2-year period, the risk pool, who only had $1 million set aside to cover this debacle, they kicked Quartzite to the curb. They said, the only way we'll even think about keeping you, you would have to run every one of your council agendas by us in advance, and we'd have to hold your hand at every step, and of course, the government doesn't want anybody holding their hand. They want to do what they want, and the premium was outrageous, so the town had to privately insure. And here's the difference. Before, they could pick on the citizen, and the deductible through the risk pool was only $2,500. Risk pool would provide the toughest, nastiest, trickiest lawyers. Now, the deductible is $100,000.
$100,000 deductible, and they had to go private, and it's a big, giant chunk of what, but they don't care, because they get the funds from the people. We're just going to raise rates and taxes, and it's Jennifer's fault. Well, we're going to talk about that more when we come back. It's peaking, something's happening, and we get the peak on who or what is behind this.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Power love is a curious thing. Make a
Ernest Hancock, Jennifer Jones, you don't need us. You can do it all by your lonesome. This is how you do it. You go, I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form. You just do it. It's between the ears, and it manifests itself in several different ways. There are things that you can do. And one of the things is you just need to find out where, you know, I distinctly remember my civics class as a youngin' in fifth grade and them saying that, you know, government good and pledging allegiance to and, you know, and sing Star Spangled Banner because the government's there to protect the freedom and the home of the land of the free and brave and kind of, you know, and that's not what's happening. Something's wrong. When they got, you know, you go to a city council meeting and there's some controversy going on and the whole town is there and the mayor recognized, you go up to the microphone and you say, let me tell you what's up. And cops start bending your wrist and, you know, finagling and doing and pain and doing and hauling you out. And we've seen it happen at all different law enforcement, all kinds of different open public meetings, which they don't do that much anymore, by the way. And you'll have sheriff's deputies just emptying pepper spray in people's faces. You have them hurting them, tasering them, doing all. But then what's to combat that? You fight back, you get a video camera. You get a smartphone. This is what's really coming at. Then you get people on record. Then you got, that's what I was talking to Ed Foster about yesterday. I'm going, you need to have discovery. You need to have, you know, documented. You need to paper the trail. You need to, you know, you go, what? You know what? I don't give a crap what the black robe guy says. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Don't freaking care. The court of public opinion, I want them to know what's going on. And how you do that is by papering, you know, the trail, man. You go in, you get everybody on record, you get, and then what happens? You get an investigation done by the Department of Public Safety, our state police here, the Highway Patrol. They go through this, they have jurisdiction, they go and they do the tape, and what happens? They edit out 20 minutes of these law enforcement individuals that knew things were bad, that said so on record. Not allowed. We take that out. That is the crime right there. I mean, I love when you find out stuff like that. What did they omit? What did they take out? What was the 18 minutes of the Nixon tapes? What was it? I don't know. What do you think that they cut out there, Jennifer?
Well, actually, if you really want to sit down and listen to it, and I haven't, I've been so busy between my day job that pays for the newspaper and doing the newspaper that I haven't compared it verbatim. But since Officer Stephen Franks was nice enough to record his interview, he turned that over to a website. It's aview.info, aview.info, and they have both versions, I believe, that they've posted to YouTube now, and you can actually listen to all the officers' testimony. aview.info.
aview.info. I'm going to put it up on the archive right now. Where do they go on there? If they just go to that, they'll be able to see it?
Oh, yeah. You just want to go to, just click on Courtsite, and you can read hundreds of pages of documents about somebody.
aview.info. Click on Courtsite. Donna's putting it up right now. So you got, he, did they know that he was recording his interview?
No, I don't think that they do, but you have to understand that Officer Frakes is the former undercover narcotics agent for the task force. So if you don't think the narc is like got a hidden camera, you're kind of stupid, aren't you?
Yeah, okay, so he knew better. All right, so he's recording himself. They're recording. They edit. He has the master. See, I love this stuff. You know, risk management is going, run away. So the private insurance that they got, how does that work?
Well, the private insurance is costing about triple the premium. They have $100,000 deductible, so that it, the first $100,000 they have to basically hire their own attorneys and everything else. So it's kind of neutered their bad behavior to quite a great extent. They've even told the police chief to back off the politics and, you know, kind of hide around in the shadows and mind his own business, and pretty much he has.
Well, you because know, they were paying him to go out and silence political dissent. I mean, that's what they were doing.
Absolutely. And we can actually, I forget where it is, but somewhere in the testimony, one of the council members, you know, not by name, but it was identified that the council members were perhaps even specifically directing some of these actions, you know.
And of course they were.
Of course they were, because you're running against them, because you got recalls against them. Well, and that's good news. We actually have a recall. We got two good candidates in, Mayor Foster and Councilwoman Workman, and there's four of them that are under recall right now. And the people have finally realized that I was telling them the truth all along. I wasn't making it up. And that these people really were as rotten as I said and have done the things that I told them they were doing. So even the fence sitters are now getting off the fence and saying, let me sign that recall petition and get these people out of here. And we got a couple of good people who are willing to stick their neck out and maybe run for local government just because I've been around 5 years, and no matter what they've thrown at me, you know, I'm still standing. So,
well, I've been screaming that, you know, you're better off just unincorporating. The second they incorporated, I knew what was coming, and I've been screaming that forever. And I also keep saying, look, all you got to do is look who's got the land leases from the BLM land and who's gotten kind of multi-layered, five layers down of who gets whatever when they start developing, and that's going to tell you who they, them, those are. And nobody cares. They just want to do their local whatever. So I'm like, all right, told you, but I'm not lifting a finger because it's not my town. But I'm telling you, I look at just unincorporating, which has, you know, there's an ability to do that. You can say, you know what, we don't want to be a town anymore. We'll just fire everybody. Is that even possible? Has that even come up?
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's been a growing movement of people within the town who were like, you know what, let's just, it was better off before, let's undo it. And, you know, I'm not sure how that plays out financially because of the amount of debt the town has. If you were to do that by a vote of the people, if the debt would be lumped onto the property owners, and of course then we'd be at the mercy of the county, and we have one of the most corrupt county sheriffs right now. He's a former county supervisor. You know, he's a real winner. He actually took a disability retirement from LAPD and testified under oath. He was so stove up he couldn't work a desk job. Took a disability pension, came to La Paz County, worked a desk job another 20 years as justice of the peace and county supervisor, and then ran for sheriff, and, you know, and he's trying to milk out his last year or two to get his Arizona state pension. So we got a bad sheriff, and that's not a good thing. But we have got on the last election a good county attorney. The other county attorney was appointed to replace the crooked judge. So we have a better county attorney. And we actually got two decent county supervisors in, which is a quorum of three. So we're working slowly but surely through legitimate channels to try and root this stuff out.
Hey,
but
man, yeah. Just none of the above is legitimate for me, man. I'll tell you, I don't need to worry about them if they're not there, you know? So, you know, the one thing, I'll give you an example, is didn't you have like a city attorney that came in or went off to be at the county level to oversee the, I mean, it's such a round robin of corruption that just goes from one to another. It's amazing when you tell these stories.
It's like musical chairs, but nobody takes away one of the chairs. You know, we had Dan Field was the county manager, and he got fired as the county manager by a previous board of supervisors. So he comes to court site and becomes the town manager / town attorney because he does somehow manage to maintain a bar cart. His wife's also an attorney, you know. Well, then he leaves Courtside and goes back to being the county manager after the candidate he backed got elected to the Board of Supervisors. So he's in, he's out, this one's in, that one's out. The last, before the changeover of the current Board of Supervisors, one of the last things they did at their very last meeting before they were out of office was they made Mr. Field's wife the new public defender to replace the one that got elected as county attorney, and then they made the crooked supervisor's husband the jail commander, and neither of those positions were ever even advertised for, so it was all a backroom thing. And, you know, we get very frustrated, and that's the only thing I think people are scared of, is the county's not much better, so are we better off being worse?
I tell you, one of the other things is that you had one of the law enforcement, a sergeant or something, his wife was the municipal judge there that, you know, was adjudicating whether it was okay to arrest. I mean, it just keeps getting thick. And that's why I like focusing on small towns. It's exactly the same as a much global scale. It's just easier to see.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to the Clay Independence Media. Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, with Jennifer Jones. Now, one of the things that, you know, it's finally gotten to the point to where, you know, they start sucking you in. You know, they want to, oh, you're so, oh, yo, you, they squeeze your bicep and they go, ooh, you must lift. Oh, your hair looks so nice today. Oh, don't you just look nice? I love that dress. Oh, you just come on in and, you know, take the oath and sit down and here's a shiny badge, okay? I don't trust them. But Jennifer, she's got, she thinks she's got a little upper hand on them on this thing, and she's decided that she's going to help them in an advisory role, and she has a reason for doing that. Jennifer, explain it to the people what you're doing and why.
Well, I was getting accused of being so negative all the time, and you never do anything positive for the town, and why don't you ever volunteer for anything? Because I did a lot of stuff, but I never bragged about it. So I filled out a volunteer interest statement. I said, you know, I'd like to be on your planning and zoning board, and I'd like to be on your municipal property corporate board, and sure, I'll volunteer. How do you like me now? Well, much to my amazement, at the last council meeting, they had a couple of spots open on the planning and zoning board and not very many applicants, so they had to interview me. And, you know, I basically let it be known, listen, you've been getting bad advice, and clearly I've proven that I know your codes and ordinances better than the people you pay to know them. So now that we've lost our participation in the risk pool and we're one lawsuit away from bankruptcy and we're operating with a budget of a $350,000 deficit to begin with, you know, hey, you could take worse advice than listening to me. And lo and behold, even though I pulled recall papers on four of them and I'm suing them, they actually put me on the board. So here's my theory in this, Ernie. If I explain to them and we write it up properly and it gets read into the record, hey, I don't think you should go after Mr. Smith's property because there's case law that says X, Y, Z, and this is our recommendation. And they know this and they ignore it, they lose something called executive protection. And what that means is if they get sued for going after Mr. Smith, then their personal assets are on the hook and not the people's money. They can be personally liable for that decision if they know better and they do it anyways. So if I can do nothing else, maybe by volunteering to do something I'd be researching anyways for my newspaper, I can protect the money of my neighbors and friends and citizens and, you know, and then it's their house and their car and their assets on the line.
Yeah, there's your volunteering. How you like me now?
Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
Well, do they understand this?
Well, actually, they do. You know, and I mean, I'd let it be known before when they took a bad action. You know, after the meeting, I said, hey, you know, I hope you guys, own your homes because somebody's going to take them from you. And one of the councilmen said, I don't care. The bank owns my home. And I said, well, then you might care when you're pushing your dog and cat in a shopping cart down the road, you know. And I think they've gotten some different, a new town attorney, and this town attorney was recommended to them by the League of Cities and Towns, and, you know, who, of course, is tied, board members are tied to the risk retention pool. And I think that maybe their legal counsel said, you know, guys, there's some validity to some of this. She's not really just scaring you. It can happen.
See, so when you go to these people and you tell them, look, I'm going to try and help you guys out here, because obviously after 600 and something citations that get dismissed and everything, you guys are really, you know, just you don't have a good track record. Okay. So my thing is, though, is that that's what they're there for. They're there to harass and intimidate and get their way and do that. That's why certain city attorneys are hired. That's why they're there, is to get what they want and to push aside people like you and Mike and Ed and all the other people that live there. That is their function. But they came up against someone that said, yep, and we're going to document your function and the violation of all your oaths and the law and this and that, and we're going to, you know, file suit, and here we come. Well, they're hoping you'll go away. They'll hope you won't bring it all the way through. They're hoping that they can get, you know, some corrupt judge, de la, whatever, at every level, that somebody is always going to side in their side. And but when you're out on shows like this and doing what you're doing out in the open, you got Oath Keepers coming and Jordan Page singing and us doing remotes and going out there and radio fine and telling everybody, and You have your own newspaper, and you have your own mayor. And, I mean, it's really starting to stack up against them, I would think. And at some point, they're going to cut and run, like they did with risk management, on Quartzsite. But there's somebody or something behind this that they're protecting, because there are skeletons buried somewhere at a much higher level that you have yet to find out. And when they're editing at the Department of Public Safety, the state police, testimony of Quartzsite police officers that are telling them what's going on and they're editing stuff out, that's a bad sign. Big bad sign.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I completely agree that these people are clearly not smart enough to have orchestrated most of what has gone on. So there is got to be somebody bigger behind the scenes that's playing around with some kind of investment in the real estate of Quartzsite. It's that old location thing. You know, we're on an east-west I-10 corridor that goes to the Port of Los Angeles. We're on a NAFTA superhighway coming up from Mexico to Canada. We know it. They know it. Somebody wants it. You know, these things are planned out 10,
Quartzsite's
20, 30
years. Got a pushpin in it. Quartzsite's got a pushpin in it. Okay.
But here's the good news. And the good news is that in the last election, we got some new people elected. And these people haven't forgotten Quartzsite. And they've actually reached out to us. Kelly Ward and Sonny Borelli and Kelly Townsend and Congressman Paul Gosar. And they've said, listen, what do you think we could do or should do? Or is there anything that, you know, and they, but just the fact that they haven't forgotten us and swept us under the rug after they won the election, you know, is nice. So I basically told, Congressman Gosar, and I expect him to follow through on this. I said, at the federal level, if you do nothing else, I want to know two things. Is the FBI actually investigating the police department and the town government like the county attorney had asked them to?
Of course they are, to protect themselves.
Yep. And number two, how many of us did the police chief put on the terrorist list? Because if you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is, you know, subsidized by Homeland Security, you will find articles where they interview the police chief, and he calls people like Senator Judy Burgess, we're terrorists. We use the word Constitution. We actually think we have rights. We're terrorists, by gosh. And these nutcases at SPLC, you know, they're interviewed like they're some kind of experts. The only thing they're experts on is subterfuge. I mean,
I interviewed these guys on the show several times. I had Mark Potok, the editor of the intelligence report, investigative report, whatever it is that they do. I had him on my show just last year. And you should go do that. Mark Potok, Potok, T-A-K, I think. Ernest Hancock, you Google that and you listen to the show and you'll see. I know what these guys are. But the thing is that when you say, is the FBI really investigating? Of course they are. They're looking for your argument. They're looking for, you know, providing a report up to the guys that wanted the report and the FBI report so they can look at, you know, where the chinks in the armor are and, you know, if they got to, you know, take you out or not. I mean, you know, don't ever think that you're not up against a big, giant, evil ponytail people. This is, Quartzsite's got a pushpin in it and you're in the freaking way. And I'm just, the only thing that's going to save you guys is just having the newspaper that you got and coming on this show and being very open about this and going after them without violent resistance. During all of this, they wanted you to do something. They wanted you to be violent. They wanted you to resist. They needed to beat you up. And all you did is the Gandhi thing, is you demonstrated just how weak their arguments are, to the point that they can't get insurance coverage anymore, not without paying a big giant premium and a large deductible. So this is there. We're going to. My goal is not just the Quartzsite thing. It's just a window, a conduit into finding what really runs the planet. And I'm. It all goes up to this. I don't know, this Agenda 21 thing, man. I mean, we've got a, you know, new layer of we rule you from, you know, big giant across the seas kind of stuff. And that's why we're going to try and hook you up with Rosa Carori and come and do a sponsored thing that we'll go help with, because I can see a lot of information that she's exposed and how it's being manifested in Quartzsite. Are you starting to get a feeling it has something to do with that kind of stuff too? Oh, I lost you. Are you there, Jennifer? We're losing your signal. Well, hold on. We'll see if we can get to it. Yes, I do think that there is a lot of overlapping that we can learn from just being informed. And Jennifer Jones and Ed Foster and Mike Ross and a bunch of other guys out there are making sure that we get a window into the bad guys at a much higher level than what you guys realize. Itty bitty little quartzite, and we'll keep track of it. See you next week.